team. All right, kids, you're released. You can go. Parents, pick them up after the service, please. Even though I love children, I love them with you at your house. It's where they belong. Today is one of those, I just really was, I hope all of us will be this way by the time we get through with today. You know, there are days when you have something special happens with you and the Lord. And we never anticipate it. You know, it's not like you know this is going to be one of those days. A day when, you know, a lot of us want our lives changed. We have issues that we want to get over. We have some things we want to accomplish. We want to develop a new discipline. We want to grow in this. We want to, what would be, it's a Kleenex. My eyes are leaking. Yeah, we do. Well, you know, the Bible tells us how to do that. And I believe today is so important because I believe we're going to lay a track, a foundation, a pathway where we can, some things are going to start happening in our lives that we've been longing for a long time. Romans 12, 2, right? Paul said, we will be transformed. And I believe every one of us, there's areas in our lives where we want to be transformed. I want more joy. I want more peace. I want more happiness. I was talking to somebody yesterday who had talked themselves into a fit. I'd watched them do it. Like they were happy, and then all of a sudden something happened, and now they're just not happy. And then I'm like, I just told them. I said, well, I'm happy. And they got mad at me because I was still happy. I'm sorry. That it happened. What they got mad about was something happened to me, not them. I'm like, I'm good with it. You know, where does joy come from? Listen, God wants to transform how you live in this world. He wants to transform how you feel about circumstances. He wants to transform your life physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, in every way. And how that happens, according to the Apostle Paul, is by the renewing of my mind. Well, for those of us that have been around a while, that's not an easy thing. We get in ruts. Our culture determines how we feel, how we think. And today, the truth is, I want us all to become, I show you this picture a lot, but I want us all to get the freedom to become like a two-year-old with our loving Father, our grandfather, God. Like, as you allow His thoughts, as you allow the heaven, the spirit realm, to transform how you think, it will transform your behavior because all change starts in here. Have you ever tried to do something by just force of your will just to make it happen, but your heart hadn't changed yet? You can't win that battle, and you never will. You know, and so this is that verse I was thought about when we were singing that song about the Lord, that His face is beautiful. And then I thought, well, yeah, His face is beautiful. So is everyone in this room. Every one of you. You know how come? Because you were created in His image. When I look at you, I ask God, show me the Jesus inside of her, inside of him. Especially if I don't like you. That's like I really asked Him, I want to see Him. Because I would rather be happy. I can't believe, I literally was argued with this person yesterday who was trying to convince me that I should be unhappy because of what had just happened. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I was like taken aback when they got mad at me. I'm like, what'd I do? I'm just happy. I'm like, I didn't do that. Somebody else did it to me, and they were not happy. Guys, God wants us to have joy above, without ceasing. Peace, hope, laughter. I don't know why y'all don't laugh at my jokes. You'll be happier if you would laugh at my jokes, even if they're pitiful. You know, I thought about getting Jessica to explain about why when she was singing that song, she started crying because she was thinking about, you notice all of our songs, they were about Jesus, right? All He's done for us. How much has He done for us? Like, you think you have foot problems? Talk to Jesus who had nails driven through His, and He still has joy. It's for the joy set before him that he endured the nails in his feet and the nails in his hands. So today I want to focus a lot on Jesus, but I want to read something that's a long passage, because I believe that one of the main problems you and I have in God transforming our minds is about the passage I'm about to read. Because I think we're not thinking right about this. I believe that we are New Testament, New Covenant believers, born again. But the enemy and the world and our own minds keeps taking us back into the old covenant that was rules and laws and regulations and failure and shame and guilt and punishment. You see, we need to have our minds transformed to think the way Jesus thinks, to be who we really are. So today I'm going to run you through a bunch of scriptures. This is a great one. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13. You've heard this, or you've heard parts of this a lot. I'm going to read this whole passage, so read it, hang with me. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And then us Southern Christians, we love this one. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Yeah. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. What a great promise. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They'll come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He's given you. And the Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised on you on oath. If you keep the commands, the Lord your God will and walk in obedience to Him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb and the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of His bounty. Aren't these great promises? This is what God has promised those of us who can obey Him. Now, let's keep going on. Verse 13. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I mean, you guys have heard that. If you haven't heard it, you haven't listened to much Christian radio or television. Listen, I'm the head and I'm not the tail. Or if you've never been in a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, aren't you the head? You're not the tail. God says you're the head and you're not the tail. Now, then there's that big two-letter word, if. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You can't partially follow them. You can't get it close. You have to be spot on. You'll always be at the top and never at the bottom. In our practical life here in America, in your world, is that true about you? You've never been at the bottom. You'll always be at the top. And do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God. Now, I believe the Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, I'm a fanatic about the Scripture, is from the Lord. If you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And he goes on to list them. You see, this creates a problem, because In the New Testament, those passages I've been hammering you guys with, and we're going to keep hammering on, what does Jesus say about this? You know, it's funny when you look at it. James, the brother of Jesus, right? He wrote, James 2:10, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Well, they had 613 laws by the time Jesus came on the scene. You have to obey each one perfectly. And if you don't, now I read carefully. I pay attention. If you just miss one, you've broken them all, and the curses that he listed are all going to come on you. Well, there's no one. Not a one, no one in this room, and no one I know of ever that has obeyed all the laws perfectly their whole life. Well, that leaves us in a pickle. You know, the only one who's kept these laws perfectly is Jesus. He kept them perfectly. He obeyed every single law. You see, we're all disqualified. And not only are we disqualified from the blessings, we embrace the curses. Now, I'm not going to leave us there, right? Because you say, what was the purpose of the law? Like, why did God give it to us? And there's three or four passages in the New Testament that talk about the why. And when I read them, like Galatians 3:23, before the coming of faith, before the New Testament, the New Covenant, right, when Jesus died, rose again, before that, before the coming of faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came. You know, the law's good when it protects us. If you're not someone who has a heart changed, who has an empowerment of the Holy Spirit working inside of you, there's a good law that I love it. Murder is against the law. Stealing my stuff, against the law. And you know, I don't know how many laws we have in America. They had 613 in the Jewish world. Well, I think we have thousands. And those laws actually contain our behavior some. I mean, not totally, but they sort of do. They keep us from stealing and breaking and entering, and they at least make us do it where we won't get caught. Right? So the law had some purpose. I think it helped keep us alive until grace came, until love burst on the scene, until the power of the Holy Spirit was released inside of us, so that now I don't live by the law, I live by a changed heart. I have a new want to in my life. I have a new desire. I don't want to. You know, listen, the saying do not steal and or do not murder or do not all that, that doesn't control anything I do. I mean, the speed limit sort of controls me a little bit, but there's other, you know. Are you like that too? You see, the law was good until your heart's changed. Until the Holy Spirit lives inside and empowers you to do it different. So today, what's the purpose of the law? You know, so the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified, holy, sanctified. Those transformations you want to have inside of your heart, they come through the power of God released in your life by faith. They get justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. You see, I think in our world, me and you fall in this trap all the time. We want to change our behavior. And the truth is, if we don't have faith, our behavior is not going to change. It takes revelation from God. And so I want to look at this pretty in depth. I want us to think about it. The blessings that you and I have now, that if we could list them, it would go on and on and on. the blessings you have of being in a nice building, living in a good economy, and not the blessings you have of not being all this stuff that could have happened to you 1,000 times. Those blessings, the blessings of prosperity, the blessings of a good mind, the blessings of good family, the blessings. I mean, I think everybody in this room, you know, we all are experiencing blessings of God every day. Those blessings are ours because Jesus' perfect obedience. He fulfilled every part of the law. And that's what Jesus said in this in Matthew 5:7. He said, guys, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle, not one period, nothing in the law, Jesus fulfilled it all. It's done. Now, when you believe, when you trust in Him, His perfect obedience becomes yours. It's a free gift. You didn't earn it. You're not perfect. You'll never be perfect until you're in heaven. It's a gift. Totally undeserved, totally unmerited, totally. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave you that gift. Everyone in this room is experiencing that gift right now, whether you're behaving yourself or not. It doesn't matter, because what Jesus, you know, we lifted Jesus up today because He can't be lifted up too high. Did He pay for your sin? Yes. The sin you did, the sin you're doing, and the sin you're going to do. He paid for it all. And He made you holy and He made you righteous. Now, what I want to talk about is, how do we actually get to experience that in our lives? Like, the person who was convincing me that I should be unhappy, they were a Christian. No different than me. They're a Christian. Well, why am I experiencing peace when they were experiencing anger? Because I really do believe that God created me in His image, and that He made me righteous and holy, and that in His perception, in His wisdom, I am a son of God. I'm seated in heaven on a throne. I believe that. I choose to believe that even when a word slips out of my mouth in tongues that shouldn't slip out. I believe it even when I think the wrong things, even when I still believe that His righteousness is mine. I still believe that when you look at my face, I'm looking at His face. When I look in the mirror, I see Jesus, because I was created in His image and He paid the price. He paid for everything. It was a free gift. Righteousness, holiness, sanctification, it's a free gift from God. Even believing, you can't believe unless God gives you the gift to believe. You didn't become a Christian by your strength and your effort. It's by His gift. And the more we recognize His gift, the more you see His gift, the more you engage in His gift by faith. I want to show you that your behavior, what's coming out of your life, your process you're going through is determined by faith and by believing. And you and I think it's determined by obedience. I want to show you something in Scripture that'll blow your mind. I hope it's something that'll stick with you, okay? Now this is, I want to show you, in the Old Testament, it was all about obedience. The Old Covenant, you know the Old Covenant that Judaism and the whole world lived under? That was all about obeying those 613 laws, which no one could do. Now, something changed, right? So Hebrews, let's look at that. Let me catch up on my notes. Otherwise, we'll be here for a long time. Are y'all okay with that? That we're in school today. I'm sorry. I usually don't use very much Scripture. That was sarcasm for some of those of you that know me. Know, like, what? It's like, you don't preach. You just read Bible. I'm like, sorry, I do. All right. So how does obedience fit into the new covenant that I've been talking about? Because what I'm saying, what I really do mean, as clear as I can say it, is when you engage in faith and believing what Jesus did, agreeing with what the Scriptures say, believing Him, when your heart engages that, that's what changes your behavior. That's what changes your attitudes. That's what sets you free from addictions. Believing is what does it. Now, you and I live in this world where we judge ourselves by what we do, not what we believe. That's the way the world lives. Put your thought on things above, not things below. The world lives by that fact. Jesus lives by faith. You know what faith is? Believing even when you're in your darkest place that the power and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all your sin. Now, we sing it, and we sing it with gusto, fervence, right? We all sang it. Do you believe it? Well, no, because look, I'm still sinning. That's what belief is, right? Let me slap yourself in the forehead really, really hard 4 or 5 times. That's what I do. I'll do it for you. Yeah, thanks. Tracy did it. He's the only one that did it because he's hard-headed. But I'm telling you, like, okay, believe. Do. Believe. What are you going to do? Do you believe or you do? Well, I believe what I see. Oh, that's Jesus didn't believe what he saw. He saw humanity. He felt the stripes. He felt the spit in his face. He felt the rejection. He felt it all. He knew that his disciples were going to not be able to follow him, that they were going to all deny him. He knew that nails were coming for his hands, that the crown of thorns was going to get jammed onto his head. He knew that the people that he loved were going to crucify him. He knew that, but he believed that what he was going to do was going to set them free. Were they free yet? No. Guys, it's time for you to believe. Believe in what he's done for you and who you are. And as you believe him, as that grows inside of you, it'll change your behavior. It'll change your thoughts. It'll change your attitudes. I mean, I'm serious. This just happened yesterday, and it's funny to me, so it's on my mind. I didn't go into that moment saying, I'm going to act like a Christian. I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to have faith. I didn't go into that moment any doing that. None of that. I just am in this journey of believing the Scripture and to believing that Jesus Christ did it all. And as I believe that, something inside of me changed. You want to be happy? Start engaging by what you believe. Let God transform your mind. Let him transform your mind. And he transforms your mind by believing. So I want to show you those. So you guys have a computer. If y'all don't, you can go to the library and look at one. Hebrews 3:18. Y'all been reading that verse already. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Wouldn't you like to live at rest? I mean, your whole life, like from now on, at rest. No matter what's going on, no matter what the news is happening, no matter what's going on in your family. I mean, we're living life. We have drama. We have stuff. But wouldn't it be beautiful if no matter what's going on, you would be at rest? You know, peace. Without, people would get mad at you. But you can be at rest. You know how you live at rest? I read this funny. I keep messing up in my mind. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. And then in the same breath, Hebrews 3:19, he says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Well, wait a second. Is it works? Is it obedience and works? Or is it believing? Well, you know, when you go look that up in the Greek, it's the same word. They just translated one time obey and one time unbelief. You know, in God's mind, they're the same thing. Belief. You know what keeps us out of walking in the fruit and the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit? Unbelief. Unbelief. Now, that's absolutely true. In the New Testament, disobedience is called unbelief. Obedience is called belief. And here me and you have been spending our whole lives trying to obey without believing. And then we wonder why we can't obey. We wonder why other people can't obey. It's because they don't believe. There's a spirit at work in this world trying to convince us all the time to do things ourselves, to be responsible for everything, when the truth is all of the stuff we want to do comes out of our belief. And do you believe the shame-free gospel? Do you believe it? Do you engage it in your thoughts? Do you spend time thinking about that? What does Jesus say about me? If you get face to face with Jesus, he will always do the same thing. He'll love you just like you are. Well, I got to get cleaned up before I see Jesus. Well, the woman at the well and that woman caught in adultery, shoot, I don't even think the woman caught in adultery had her pants on. I didn't say that right. You know what I mean? She wasn't cleaned up. And Jesus loved her in the face of hell. There was hell about. They were fixed. I can't imagine what it looks like to see someone stoned to death. But that's what was about to happen right in front of his face. And he just ignored all of that. He saw it. But he looked at her. And when he looked at her, he looked at his daughter. He saw his daughter. He didn't see a dirty woman. What do you see when you look at yourself? Do you see or do you believe who Jesus says you are when you look in the mirror? When you're looking at other people in this world, are you judging them by what they're doing? Or do you believe what the Bible says about them? You see, God, it's all about belief in our world now. Ephesians chapter 2. I love that verse. You're dead in through your trespasses and sins. You know what that word dead there means? Unable. In the Greek, it's unable. That makes sense to me. So when I'm living in unbelief, since that's what that is, when I'm living in unbelief, I'm unable to be kind. I'm unable to be faithful. I'm unable to be persevering. I'm unable to pray for the sick and raise the dead. When I'm living in unbelief, I'm unable to do everything I want to do. Unable. Because I need the power of God. And it's even worse than that. It's not just unable. In which, verse 2, in which you once lived following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the Spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient / unbelief. That's what that word is. So you mean to tell me that when I'm living in self-effort, when I'm living in judgment, when I'm not living believing in what Jesus and the gospel says, that spirit is going to be working in me? Yep. Yeah. You want to be free from that spirit? Believe. Believe what? Believe in the goodness of God. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the power of what Jesus did on the cross for us, for the world. Believe. And we fight this battle our whole lives because the enemy is always whispering in our ears, wanting us to try and take things into our own hands, to try and make something happen, to try and become something. The enemy wants you to judge yourself and judge everybody else, and he doesn't want you to believe the truth that you're a son of God, that you are now seated in heaven on a throne with Jesus Christ, that you're holy, that you're righteous. You can't get any more righteous than Jesus has already made you. I'm sorry, you can't. Well, but I want my life to be transformed. That happens in your mind, not in your life. Come on, that's a big statement. Transformation, I didn't make this up. I read it in the book. Transformation happens in our minds. What do you believe will transform the fruit that's hanging on the branch that you are, that's abiding in the vine that Jesus Christ is? We're a branch, and I want my fruit to change, it happens right here. And it happens by believing and believing and believing and believing, even when the evidence says the opposite. Jesus was the supreme belief. He is belief. He is faith. Because when everything in the world said no, Jesus believed anyway. So guys, when you're in your worst spot, when your back's against the wall, when you failed the 10,000th time, why don't you quit trying to not fail and start focusing on believing the truth about who you are? And you know what? When you believe the truth about who you are, the power of the Holy Spirit will cause the fruit of who you are to come out of that branch. And it'll keep coming. And you'll love, and you'll be happy, and you'll move in the gifts of the Spirit, and you'll fulfill your destiny in this world. It all happens by you choosing to believe the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't make him bigger than he is. And I think our way of thinking has made Jesus smaller than he is. And I don't want to believe that anymore. So what he said, I don't know, did y'all finish reading that? It's the power of those who work in disobedient, unbelieving. That word is still belief. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word, the thoughts, the reasoning, the gospel, the God's way of seeing the world, right? It did not profit them. You know why it didn't profit them? It wasn't being mixed with faith. It wasn't being mixed with faith. For we who have believed, you know, he could have said, we who pay our tithe, since Kelly mentioned that, he could say that. We who obey our parents, we who drive the speed limit, we who don't steal, we who don't cuss, at least we don't cuss on Sundays. Well, I mean, until after church, those of us who do everything, dot the dots and cross the T's, and yeah, that's who. That isn't what he said. He could have said that, easily said that. That's who, right? Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, what works? Your salvation, your righteousness, who you are. You're a son of God, born of the same womb as the Lord Jesus Christ. Your holiness, it was all finished. Now, you and I are living on this planet because we're walking this thing out, growing in our faith the same way Jesus grew in his faith. And as we grow, more of the reality of what's true already will be released out of our lives, and it'll be fruit. And we get no credit. We get no pride. It all comes through what he did. So I'm challenging you this year. Let's make this a year where we change how we think. And you can't even do that without revelation from him. Like, I'm up here talking, but it doesn't matter if I'm making sense or not. What matters is what the Lord's speaking to your heart. So this makes sense to me. I choose to believe, and I'm going to let God transform my mind, and I dwell on this. I change, you know, this is the future of the world is tied up in this battle right now. Do you believe? I want to enter rest. I want to be in his rest. And I'm going to stop earlier than I thought. I want to go to Galatians. You may want to read that book. Because what you'll see in the book of Galatians, Paul was talking to those guys. He said, guys, you were doing great. You were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You weren't walking in man's effort and sweat and toil. The God of gods was moving in your life and blessing you and blessing people through you. Then all of a sudden something changed. And you know what changed? Paul said in Genesis chapter 5, we're going to read the whole thing, but he said, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What's your truth? What's your truth? something happened to the Galatians. They started with Jesus, but they got off track. You know, I wrote this down. I really do want to quit before too long, but I got to say this because it's funny to me. We live in a world where information and technology have changed everything. And I find in our world, and to me it's funny, being an old guy who did, we didn't have the internet when I was in college. You know, it wasn't there. Now, if you want to know how to do anything, all you have to do is Google it or ask AI. Like, we have a new God in the world. Because, you know, you go to God for answers. You go to God so you'll know what to do to prosper. You go to God so you can know how to fix a four-wheeler or whatever. I use that stuff all the time. That thing is God with a little g. It's the God, they worship all kinds of gods, but they're not God. You see, when you let the internet or information or technology take the place of your relationship with God, it's not going to end well for you. And it's not always true. Do y'all know that? Have you ever messed up and thought something you were reading was as true as what they presented as? It's not always true. It's man's opinions. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one true. There's only one truth, and it's Him. If God says you were created in His image, you were created in His image. If God says you're holy, you're holy. If He says you're righteous, you're righteous. Yeah, but what about the evidence? I live by faith. And you know what happens when you live by faith? It releases the power of God in your life and in your world. Guys, this year, let's live by faith. Let's quit living by the little g. Go Google and ask Him and let Him give you all the advice in the world, or her, or whatever you've got on your thing. And I'm going to tell you, it will not bring you life. And it may be wrong. It amazes me when I look at all the opinions on that thing. It's like, this is ridiculous. Guys, let's change. Let Him transform your mind, and not social media, and not talking heads, and not that constant information we keep getting. Listen, I say babies are important. I say family's important. I say Jesus says you're good and He loves you. I say that's how you raise your family. That's how you live prosperous in this world, is with Jesus Christ. Yeah, but if you do this, then it'll make your skin beautiful and you'll be much happier because everybody's going to look at your skin and say how beautiful it is. I'm like, that's a bunch of crock. No, I know we're all going to return to the dust. One day your skin's not going to look like a baby's anymore. I don't care what you keep putting on it, you know. It doesn't matter. But you know what controls joy and peace and love? The real world? He does. Amen? All right, so let's all stand up. We're at a crossroads, guys. Because we all have, y'all can come on up, Richard. Richard. I was thinking this morning, just a heads up so you can know. We need you. Grace Fellowship needs you. I don't know if you noticed, we have some great young ushers and young helpers. We need more help. I thought it was funny. I was looking at the worship team this morning, like there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people up here on the worship team this morning. 6? Oh, yeah, 6. I was looking at them. Every one of them also works with children. Because you never have enough children's workers in a church, right? And plus, we love children. We care about them. It's funny. Every one of them up here do double duty. And I'm glad. And our ushers all work double duty, triple duty. Guys, to serve people, we need help. So if you'd like to be a part of helping provide this for people, talk to us. Talk to Pastor Harvey. Ricardo, who... Are you in the room, Ricardo? He's out. We always have an usher outside in the foyer. And Ricardo's our head usher, and he's out in the foyer. And the children's people are working with the children. So, guys, if you want to help, if you'd like to be a part of this, we would love you to help. We're picky about who works with the children, and we really are. And so just because you say you want to, we may find you some place that would be more match who you are, what you're doing. I'm just saying that that's not, we don't, we're not, we run background checks, and we want people with children that are positive, that know Jesus was good and know he loves kids. We are really very careful about that. So anyway, if you want to help, talk to Ricardo, talk to Pastor Harvey, you can talk to me, and we will hook you up. If you'd like to pray for the sick, talk to Pastor Harvey. If you'd like to be up here and learn how to pray for people, talk to your small group leader. Wednesday night, we have family night. We break up into groups, the youth, the children, and the adults have different groups, men's groups, women's groups, and couples groups. It's all good. And they're throwing a baby shower this afternoon, which is really exciting. Yay! Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's pregnant in this room. I ain't pointing any fingers at anybody. Okay, I did. We're excited about babies. So it means something to have a building, to be able to throw a baby shower in. So thank you guys for giving and for being here. All right? So let's pray. If God's speaking to you, we'd love to pray with you this morning. So come up and we will pray with you, okay? So Father, I just thank you for today. For you gave everybody in here supernatural patience. And God, I thank you for the word, for the scripture, for your word to us this morning that we can trust you. And every time we look in your face, we feel loved. God, I just thank you for that so much. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you guys. Remember your children, Jessica.